The Midweek Horror Podcast is supported by Horrified, the website that celebrates and champions British horror, covering films, television, books, fiction, and more. You can visit Horrified at horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at horrifiedmag.
This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Alice Reed.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I'm Alice Reed. It's great to be back.
It's great to be back. It's 2022.
I know.
Here we are.
New Year's resolution, do more podcasts.
New Year's resolution, do more podcasts. And I'm not going to say the resolution has started yet, but I was going to say, you know, I might do a bit more prep this year.
Although, ooh.
I mean, starting from next one. So it's going well. It's going really well already, as you can tell.
Do you know what our podcast has become like? You know those TV shows, like sitcoms, that have season one, season two, season three?
Yeah.
And then after a while, it's just like they're just doing specials.
Yeah.
Christmas and
special.
Our podcast has definitely become like an occasional podcast.
It has, yeah.
So I think we have to get back into having, you know, regular episodes going out.
Back in the swing.
Yeah, definitely. That's my New Year's resolution. Well, do you remember when we first started? It was like, right, every 2 weeks.
And we were like,
on Wednesday.
Yeah. And fact, I remember us being
so
like,
confident on Wednesday, we'll put midweek in our name.
Yeah, and we were like, we might struggle this week. What are we going to do? We'll just have to try and fit one in like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah,
we've got slack.
We've got slack.
I blame COVID.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think 2022, we're coming out of it a bit.
How long have we been doing this podcast for? It's not 2 years yet.
No, but I...
It's over 1 year.
It's over 1 year. When did we start?
Yeah.
God, I wouldn't even like to hazard a guess.
Actually, Anne, we started before COVID.
We must have done, because...
Did we not start in 2000 and...
Did we start 2020? Early 2020?
When did COVID start?
March 2020.
I think we started in 2019.
Didn't you?
Yeah, God. I think we started, like... Was it not August 2019?
Could have been. Wow, we really need to step things up.
Did COVID really start in March 2020?
Yeah, because that's when I got it as well.
Bloody
right at
hell.
The beginning. It was 2020, because I got it in March 2020, and that was when it just started kicking off. We were hearing all about it, and everyone was like, oh, I don't think it's going to be a thing.
Then it was a thing. It was definitely a thing.
And there weren't even tests, and I lost my smell and taste, and everyone was like, what's that about? And then obviously it became an actual symptom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So. That is crazy. Do you know, I wonder if there's people who are like, oh, so sick of hearing about COVID on the news. Mm. I'll put a podcast on.
Yeah. Like, oh no.
Anyway, yeah, here we are. Midweek Horror Podcast doing a review of the pandemic so far. Ooh,
yeah,
well.
No. I'm really on this topic.
Really psyched about today's film. Do you want to tell them what we're watching, Han?
I'm very excited about it as well, because I didn't believe you that it was a thing.
Have you looked into it at all?
No, I haven't, because I wanted to keep it. And this is not just me getting out of my New Year's resolution. I was like, this looks absolutely mental. I'm just going to...
Yeah.
So it's Leprechaun...
In the Hood.
In the Hood.
Yeah. So Hannah hadn't heard of the Leprechaun franchise.
At all.
So we decided to watch a Leprechaun film. And I thought, rather than watching the first one, because I don't think you need to know the backstory... He's a leprechaun. He's evil.
He's in the Hood.
Yeah. We'll watch one of the famously ridiculous sequels. There's actually a leprechaun back in the Hood, I think.
So he returns.
Yeah. He's had two.
Must have liked it.
Two visits to the Hood. Yeah.
I don't think the Hood was known necessarily for being, you know, a place you hang out a lot, but
certainly not if you're a leprechaun.
Not if you're a leprechaun. It doesn't sound like a leprechaun's natural habitat.
Well, neither is space, and Leprechaun has been to space.
Yeah, I mean, is there one where he's just an island?
You know, I don't know. I've seen the first one, which has got a young Jennifer Aniston in it.
Oh.
And obviously she's American, but I can't remember if it was set in America or maybe an American family went to Ireland. I've got no idea.
I honestly, though, when you suggested this, I really thought you were yanking my chain. And what was the other one? Like Pumpkinhead or something.
Yeah, that's really...
Yeah, I'm just like... Yeah, yeah. I thought, you know, when we play that game where you make stuff up and I have to guess...
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
What's not? I was like, he's having me on here. And then no, lo and behold, it is real.
Yeah, I should have done a quiz for you, which just no puns. No. We've run out of puns. But which is this film real or
is
not
this
real?
Ridiculous film real? Yeah.
Okay, I'll do your deal. Next time we do a podcast, I'll have a quiz of that format for you. Before we get on to talking about Leprechaun, it's ages since we've done a podcast. What horror have you seen?
What horror have I seen?
Let's do a little catch up.
Oh, when did we last... What was our last one? Was it Candyman?
Yeah, yeah, which we were a bit disappointed by.
Yeah.
What did we give it in there? Was it like 3 stars?
We were maybe 3.5. Yeah, we were a bit disappointed. Yeah. I think we went... The thing with that was we went into it thinking it was going to be brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I have just remembered one horror that I saw over Christmas, which was the Stories for Christmas.
Ghost Story for Christmas. I saw it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It really freaked me out, actually.
Really?
Like, really freaked me out. I, watched it at I was at my parents' house, actually, and they'd recorded it because they still don't know how to use digital television.
My parents are exactly the same.
They've got like a Humax or something.
Yeah, I know.
Just like, you know, like all the stuff I set up for you, like iPlayer and all that. You can just go on that. No.
It's just there all the time.
Just still record stuff. So yeah, anyway, I digress. But so I was watching it, with my mum quite late at night, and it properly creeped me out. So
proper classic Christmas ghost story. It's an adaptation of The Mezzo Tint.
That's it.
By M.R. James. Mark Gatiss has done another blinder.
Brilliant.
You know, Mr. Classic Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
You can't imagine a better person to be, you know, shepherding the Ghost Stories for Christmas brand. Shepherding, that's not the right word, is it?
I think stewarding. That makes sense.
Curating.
Curating. I quite like shepherding, to be honest.
Yeah.
That.
Classic story about somebody who gets a sort of old etching of a country house and he realizes that over time it's changing. Like the moon appears and then a scary figure appears.
Oh, the figure. It was
He's getting closer
figure.
And closer Ooh. To the house.
And then you get then you got to a point where it started to come into his world. So it was things like the window was open and then I think the window was open and then he heard like a big thump in his house. And on the picture, the window was also open and it was assumed that maybe the creature got into his house, but of course it's just a picture. So he also might be, you know, going mad.
It's a long time since I've read The Mezzo Tint by M.R. James. So I think the stuff they did where the story of the etching dovetailed with his own life.
Yeah.
I think they added that to create drama.
Okay.
So I don't remember that and the ending being in the original story. But I'm sure our many listeners will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought that worked really well.
It was just brilliant. I would say to anyone, I know it's not Christmas anymore, but go and watch it. It is, really freaked me out. I have a bit of a thing about paintings, actually. I find them really scary anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I think this comes from, have you ever watched the Angelica Houston version of The Witches?
Yeah,
She's the Grand High Witch.
Yeah, yeah.
And the very beginning of that, the grandmother is telling the young boy, Luke, about a story about a painting where a young girl was trapped in the painting, locked in the painting, because the witches had got her.
That's actually in the source material. That's in the book as well.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, directly taken from the book by Roald Dahl.
And, that freaked me out. And you see the girl doing, she sort of ages and does different things, and then one day she's just gone. And I don't know. I find it, maybe because I used to love that film when I was a kid, and I found that really creepy then. So when I watched this, it reminded me of that. And yeah, I found it very creepy, but brilliant.
Very effective ghost story. You know, nice
bit of
telly.
One of my favourites.
Yeah, good. And Rory Kinnear played the main character. Yes. Was it Rory Kinnear?
I think it was Rory Kinnear. Yeah,
yeah. He was really good. And, I like Rory Kinnear.
They had a good cast, actually, because like, Robert Bathurst was one of his friends, and I forget now, but I know there are a few people in it who were and known.
They all did a fantastic job of capturing the period.
Yes,
they you did. You know, it had that. It was. It had that perfect sort of traditional, fusty old academic ghost story feeling. Yeah, really enjoyed this year's ghost story for Christmas. Hope we get another one next year.
Fingers crossed. And actually, I might have missed that one because. So thanks for pointing that out to me because I do enjoy those.
Yeah, good.
So sorry, yeah, I've been waffling on. That was the one that came to my mind. Have you seen anything good recently?
Oh, well, I saw that. That was a highlight. What else have I seen? So recently I saw a horror film, an indie horror film, a British one. It's a sequel. It's called Jack in the Box Awakening.
Ooh.
Really enjoyed it.
Cool.
It's basically... The Jack in the Box is a really interesting... It's a brilliant prop. The Jack in the Box that pops out of it is super creepy, and he has a full-size version, which is a man in a suit, which is super creepy.
Mm.
And basically, this Jack in the Box, once you summon it by, you know, cranking the handle, he has to kill, I think it's 5 people, and he drags the bodies into his box, which must be a portal to hell or something. And the box itself is a fantastic prop. Sort of looks a bit like a bigger version of the Lament configuration out of Hellraiser.
Mm.
But it's got this dial, which each time he claims another victim, like it ticks up a number. And it's just really, really good, solid, hearty, like quality low-budget horror fare. And actually, the first film I enjoyed as well, I'd say this was more of the same with the first one, but a bit more polished. But something I love about these Jack in the Box films, two so far, I hope they do another one. So I watch a lot of low budget horror, and sometimes it's a little bit sad to me that once the distributors get hold of them, I don't think they always, this is context, like this didn't happen to Jack in the Box. They don't always get treated, I think, with the respect they deserve.
Mm.
So what's very common is they get released with a cover that's got nothing to do with the film, that's just trying to get people to rent it, but doesn't actually reflect what happens in the film. And they will release it with a name or sometimes a succession of different names that like try to cash in on what's going on in Hollywood.
Mm.
So like say you do a film about a skeleton, like the skeleton on the cover might not be the skeleton from the film, and they might release it as Conjuring the Skeleton. And then 6 months later, they might bring it out again as Skeleton Activity. And then 6 months after that, it might be The Skeleton Witch Project.
And they do this popular. A lot.
So what I really like about these Jack in the Box films, apart from the fact that I enjoyed the film, both of them, is they pass the Ron Seal test. They do exactly what they say on the tin. The film's about a scary Jack in the Box. And the cover is the actual Jack in the Box from the films. And when I enjoy one of these indie films, because typically I see them in Prime, I try and get a hard copy on DVD if one's available, if I enjoy it. Because I'm always worried about things vanishing off streaming.
I don't know what you mean.
Even if you've paid to own them, in inverted commas, forever. I think it's nice to have some for the bookshelf as well. In fact, my pile of... The people at home are going to hear me moving around. This is my pile of indie horror films. And here you've
got a good
see.
Pile there.
Yeah.
Good stash. Oh,
shit. Yeah, I'm knocking it over. Thank you, Han.
Okay.
Helping me catch it.
Got it.
So, these are the two.
Oh, that looks freaky.
Yeah. And I'd say they're just. Oh, sorry. You still holding this pile?
I didn't think it was as secure as
like. Oh. Oh, God. All my crap's falling over. Right, let's put that
there. I think they need to be.
God, we're such professional podcasters.
It's like, I'm sorry, everyone. There's some crap falling on us now.
Yeah.
We are trapped. Send help.
I don't know what people picture, like the venue for this podcast.
I know.
Like. We've got a two-seat sofa that reclines.
It's very comfortable.
Yeah. And it's just surrounded by piles of crap.
Well, not piles of crap.
To be fair, it's just they are literally
piled up. Mountain, that's all. But
We've got boxes on this side. Boxes of rubbish. I'm a bit of a hoarder, aren't I, Han?
See, no, I don't think so. You just got lots of hobbies, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, looks freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack in the Box awakening. I knew exactly what kind of film I wanted.
Mm.
It delivered. I enjoyed it. Have I seen any other horror films? Do you know what? I don't think I have.
I didn't a lot over Christmas. I kept meaning to go and see Scream, but I haven't yet. So I still want to see that. And I might treat myself to watching the back catalogue as well. So maybe next time I'll give you a little update on that.
Yeah, lovely.
But no, I think because it was Christmas, just a lot of festive stuff. But I definitely want to get back on the horror now.
And where better to start than Leprechaun in the Hood?
Exactly. What more could you want?
Well, should we watch the trailer?
Let's do it.
Because I'd love. Will this be your first like glimpse of the Leprechaun
Absolutely.
Franchise?
Absolutely. I can't wait. Mental.
All right. Let's have a little jingle, and then we'll watch the trailer, and then we'll get Hannah's initial reaction. Here we go. Well, Han.
Well, I must say it was entirely what I expected.
Was it really?
That's great. Just, yeah, quite trippy.
Well, I've never seen Leprechaun 5 in the Hood, and I was surprised by how hood it was.
Yeah, very hood.
Like, they've really leaned into the premise.
They've even got iced tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulled iced in, tea. A young iced tea.
I'd forgotten that the Leprechaun delivers all his sort of like quips in rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten that aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think at one point we saw him doing a rap.
He was, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which sort of suits his
makes sense, yeah.
way of talking.
But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
So I think part of the Leprechaun's thing is he kills people in deliciously ironic ways.
With some kind of, like, beam of...
Well, he's got magic. I mean, one death that we saw, he said, did somebody say blow?
Yeah.
And then just sort of magically blew a hole through someone.
Yeah.
And I think that's his thing. There's lots of wordplay.
Yeah. He's got to kill you in a humorous way.
Yeah. He's sort of like a small Irish James Bond. You know, James Bond used to do stuff like he'd throw a lamp into a bath and electrocute someone and then say, shocking.
It's very true. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're looking for a new James Bond, aren't they? So
we should tell
Warwick Davis.
Well, we say Warwick Davis. The announcer for the trailer had him as Warwick.
Warwick Davis. Why don't they say Leicestershire? Sorry, Americans, but, you know, come on. It right.
I do feel sorry for Americans because our place names, it'll be written like Cholmondeley. And you're like, oh, no, it's pronounced Chumley.
That's true. And they're like, how is it? Yeah, they can't catch a break with that one, to be fair. To be fair to the English, the Welsh are worse. I mean, like, you'd never get anywhere if you just read the Welsh signs, would you? Literally, no idea. No idea at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good luck, America.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Warwick Davis. Well, he looked like he was having a whale of a time.
He did. Yeah, a great outfit.
Yeah.
I mean,
Leprechaun. Did you know that was what the leprechaun looked like?
I thought that it would, but I was happy with what I got.
Yeah, no surprises at all.
No surprises there. No, I thought it would be from looking at the poster and just the kind of the name of the film. That was what I was expecting, and I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it'll be
brilliant.
A good laugh.
What's your prediction?
Three?
It's hard to rate. Like, if we're rating on quality, well, if we're rating on fun, I think it'll be a 5.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a whale of a time watching it. But when we look it up on IMDb, I don't think we're going to be seeing any Academy Award nominations.
No, true.
But it's not that kind
of
film.
It's not supposed to be that kind of film. It's not trying to be so, yeah.
I think it's almost going to be unrateable. Because I think it's going to be a bad film that's lots of fun. I don't know how to rate that. I don't feel like I can... I think I'll enjoy it a lot more than Candyman that we watched last time. But I think I would struggle to say it's better than Candyman.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, we'll just see what we think, eh?
Yeah, we'll have to.
Watch it.
We'll have to.
Let you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, well, we'll have another jingle. And then by the time we see you on the other side, so listeners at home, it'll be a few seconds for you, but we've got lots to do. We've got to watch a film. We've got to eat our tea. We're having pizza. Hannah's doing Veganuary.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a vegan
pizza for me.
Yeah, I'd also see you doing Dry January.
I am,
You don't drink when we do the podcast anyway.
I try not to.
Which would be a surprise. Yeah, we're both stone cold sober.
Everyone's like, hang on. I mean, we take a lot of drugs, but no drink at all. Cool.
All right, brilliant. Jingle it is. We're back. Yeah. We've had a bit of a shocker, haven't we, Hannah? Everything's been going wrong.
Yeah. I'm surprised we actually managed to watch the film, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was all right. We got there.
I know.
I think the biggest issue was the fact that they forgot our dips.
Yeah, Papa John's didn't send any dips, just the pizzas.
So,
and it's amazing what a difference the not having the garlic herb makes. Like that. The absence of one condiment shouldn't make such a huge difference to how much I enjoy the meal, but it really did.
See, I was okay because Ellis had a spare barbecue sauce, so I was saved. Just lying around the house, so I was okay. But,
do you know why we had a spare barbecue sauce?
Was that from last time?
Last time we had Papa John's, and I was ordering in the app, and you were like, oh, I think I only need one. And I said, well, let's get two just in case.
Thank God we did.
And you did only use one. And that's why we had the other one spare.
Exactly. Yeah. So it turned out all right in the end.
Yeah, it did.
But unfortunately, you were bereft of garlic and herb.
Yeah, it was devastated. Oh. Absolutely devastated.
Someone's getting a bad review, let's just say that.
And then my Oculus Quest wasn't working.
Yeah.
I wanted, after we had our pizza before the film, I wanted to show Hannah a game I've been playing.
At least it did work, though, in the end.
We finally got it working. Yeah, it was a bit amazing. Of a palaver. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was amazing. So in the end, you know.
Well, and then you feel like something else went wrong.
The cap. We couldn't open a child safety cap.
Yeah. On my my liquid for my my vaping pipe. And I ended up having to get out a pair of flush wire cutters.
But you and just cut around. Into it.
Yeah.
Serial killer alert.
I don't know if this is better or worse than Serial Killer, but they're actually for assembling my Games Workshop miniatures.
I'd like to say that's better.
It's not much in it, though, is there? Yeah. Right, so we finally, after that little comedy of errors, managed to watch Warwick Davis as the Leprechaun in Leprechaun 5. Leprechaun in the Hood?
In the Hood, yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
I was a little bit worried. Is it offensive?
Probably, because of the time it was made, like a lot of things.
So when was it? That's the other. When was it made? Because it was older than I realised, but also when was it set? Because it seemed very 80s to me.
Yeah, I thought it...
But they have references to Tiger Woods. Coolio popped up, and I'm sure it was a 90s thing.
I thought it was probably early 90s.
Ice-T looked quite young.
Yeah, Ice-T looked very young, really.
Right, we'll look that up.
Yeah.
So when we go to the Tomatometer later, we'll also have a little look on IMDb and see when it's filmed. I mean, the cold opening was... was obviously set in the 70s. Ice-T had a fierce outfit. Platform soles, flares, a massive afro.
Yeah, he looked the business.
So it basically starts with Ice-T and his friend discovering... So it seems in the mythology of the Leprechaun, I'd forgotten this, it's so long since I've seen a Leprechaun film. if you put this magic medallion on him, he turns to stone.
Mm.
You take it off, he wakes up. And they're sort of exploring a subway or something with a treasure map that they bought off someone. And they find the statue of the leprechaun with the medallion on, with his hoard of gold.
Mm.
They start helping themselves to the gold, but Ice-T's accomplice also wants the necklace. So he takes it off the statue. Leprechaun comes back to life, kills the accomplice, but before he can kill Ice-T, the medallion flies up in the air and lands
flies through the air in a perfect loop, as it always does, right over his neck.
Yeah. So that's why Ice-T survives back in the 70s.
Yeah.
But in the gold hoard that the leprechaun has is a magical golden flute, which when you blow it, people do your bidding.
Yeah. Or they are charmed by you, so they like whatever you do.
Yeah, they just think you're brilliant. Yeah, they think you're amazing. And Ice-T uses this to go from being a criminal to a highly successful hip-hop producer.
Mm-mm.
And that's when we next see him, is in the 80s. So that's Ice-T's role in these shenanigans. So I felt the film was set during the 80s. The hip-hop had a real old-school feeling, but maybe if I heard some 90s hip-hop now, I'd be surprised by how old-school
it's I think sometimes
this is a long time ago now. I keep forgetting. I keep
that's
thinking,
the thing.
90s, that was last decade, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not at all.
I know, literally. Yeah. That wasn't that long ago, right? Yeah. What?
Yeah, quite a while now.
So I think, I would say late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
But, yeah. I mean.
But yeah, we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Was it offensive?
It was lots of fun. It probably was offensive. A lot of N-words.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know. Is a leprechaun offensive? Maybe.
It's probably a bit offensive.
To Irish people, I don't know.
It certainly wasn't a very positive portrayal of leprechaun.
No, it wasn't. Lots of talk about bitches and hoes.
Yeah.
So, you know, not...
A trans stereotype, which wasn't very...
Yeah, true. So...
Which wasn't very nice. I think that was actually the part of the film we were laughing the least at.
Yeah,
When Miss Fontaine popped up. It just seemed a bit... mean-spirited.
Yeah. I have to say, actually, I think it's a lot of the time, though. Not to excuse it. I just think, when I think back to other films around that era... That wasn't the sort of... That wouldn't have been uncommon. Whereas now...
Chow.
Yeah, exactly. That was awful. I think in recent times, I think we've been educated more. And I think we realise these things now and we kind of go... Some of it I probably would have even back then. But I think now I kind of go, that's... Some of these things are not right and we wouldn't expect to see them in that sort of film now.
So honest answer is I don't know how offensive it is. I think I'd trust somebody else's judgment on that. I don't think I'm well placed to say.
No, I think you could probably safely say it is a bit.
At least a bit.
Yeah.
I said to you halfway through the film, I cannot wait to see the tomatometer.
Yeah.
The splodges and the red tomatoes.
Me too, I'd be quite intrigued.
I want to know what reviewers say who like it and what reviewers say who don't like it.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get a definitive answer on how offensive it is.
What did you like about it?
God, yeah, we've gone right down a rabbit hole. I just found a lot of it very funny. I liked the main characters. So the main characters are these three quite likeable guys who want to be rappers.
Mm.
They want to make it big. They are Postmaster P or D.
P, I think.
Postmaster P, Stray Bullet. And Butch. And Postmaster P's whole thing at the start of the film is he wants to bring a message of positivity. And they managed to somehow get themselves an interview with Ice-T. Because this is now the 80s.
Who's Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy, that's it. He's now the big hip-hop producer. And he's like, no, I'm not interested in this positivity stuff. You know, on our label, we rap about guns, shooting people. You know, it's gangster rap.
Yeah.
And Postmaster P is like, oh, I'm not sure we can change our message.
Mm.
And Stray Bullet is saying to him, come on, man, if you want to be famous, we've got to do this. And they make some very bad decisions.
God, don't they?
So Ice-T, aka Mac Daddy, kicks them out And they get quite angry and decide that to get their own back, they're going to rob him. And specifically, while they were in his office, they saw the statue of the leprechaun. I would keep that somewhere safe.
Oh my God, not in a glass case. In a
glass case, yeah.
I tell you what I would have done. I was thinking this at the time. Bricked it up in my house.
Yeah.
So no one could get it, but I kind of knew it was there if I needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, but God, I wouldn't be keeping that hanging around in a glass case.
No, yeah. So he's got it on display in his office where he's doing auditions. So basically, they decide to go back and rob him. And they decide specifically to steal the gold necklace from the statue, which, of course, wakes up the leprechaun. Hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
There were some very funny bits, like when Butch turns up at the end with a plan to give the leprechaun a spliff laced with extract of four-leafed clover. And he's there with a book called The Dummy's Guide to Leprechauns.
Big question. Where the hell did he find them?
The four-leaf clovers, yeah, yeah.
Remember the hat? Notoriously hard to find.
Yeah, yeah. Why was he wearing those head-mounted torches?
Never knew. We never got an answer.
They dressed up in drag to infiltrate the leprechaun's harem.
Yeah.
It was just a very wacky, silly, funny film. But bizarrely, I actually... Like, we both, when... Okay, spoilers, guys, you've been warned. When Stray Bullet gets killed by the leprechaun, you and me were like, oh.
I know, I took that hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought the three of them were going to get out of it, you know, because they were like the three main characters and, you know, that it was going to be fine. And so, yeah, I was a bit taken aback when they killed Stray Bullet. It was a bit sad.
I am. oh, crikey. One thing that grated a little bit, everything the leprechaun said virtually was a rhyming couplet.
Hmm.
Some of them quite tenuous.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you come out with one like, all jokes aside, it's time to die.
And you're like,
And also, when he said that, he was out in the corridor alone. So, like, who was that for the benefit of?
And also, why did no one ever use the flute on the leprechaun?
Yeah, of course.
Give it a go. Yeah. So
the leprechaun was really keen to get his flute back.
His magic flute.
His magic flute. And numerous times he cornered the good guys, including Postmaster P. And at no point did it occur to him to just blow the flute and see if it had an effect on the leprechaun. Like, maybe they just intuited that the leprechaun was immune to it.
Yeah.
But I would have tried that before a spliff.
Yeah.
Laced with extract of
four-leaf clovers. Where the hell you find four-leaf clovers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's going to take you a lot of time, right? You're kind of stressed out. Your friend's been killed. What do you think to do? Go and find a load of four-leaf clovers? Probably not. Also, they live in the city. Where are the four-leaf clovers? Sorry, this has really got my goat.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever seen a four-leaf clover?
No.
No, me neither.
Never. But he had enough to make a spliff.
Yeah. I didn't like the leprechaun. So the leprechaun was hypnotising women.
Yeah.
Turning them into sort of like his sexy, green, glowing-eyed zombie... harem. I didn't like that. I thought that was creepy.
No, it was really creepy. I mean, he was just sexually abusing women, really. Yeah, wasn't he? If you're going to look at it seriously. Yeah, and I found him so gross as well.
Leprechaun.
So so grim.
I love Warwick Davis.
Oh, yeah, I love Warwick Davis.
Like, one of my favourite celebrities.
I love the fun of the character. But yeah, he played it really well in that the leprechaun was horrible. Because Warwick Davis is very much not. So he played that really well. But I just thought generally it was if you take out the kind of the problematic issues that we talked about, it was just a fun film that was a giggle that reminded me of films I used to watch when I was a bit younger.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
And it was a good laugh. And the characters were very likeable. Like you said, the three lads and the leprechaun was a fun, like, creepy villain, and it...
Yeah, you can see why he's had a million films.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And it didn't take itself too seriously.
It very much did not take itself seriously. We laughed a lot. We especially laughed when Coolio just randomly...
There in the back of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
I also found Post's gran quite funny as well. That was a good bit. His blind gran, and she keeps slagging everyone off, but obviously they're standing behind her.
Yeah, yeah. The double reveal dream sequence.
Yeah.
Do you know, that was so funny, because the first dream, so Postmaster D wakes up in a panic, because in his dream, the leprechaun's gone round to his gran's house. And she decides, because she's blind, she sees him by feeling him and feels his hands, which are horrible. And she's like, oh my God, you need feeding up. She sits him down and she's trying to feed him. And she says, no, I'm going to feed you because, you know, your hands are too gnarled up to grip these utensils or something, and starts feeding him. And I think I can almost imagine they started making that scene with no idea of where it was going. And like somebody said, we're just gonna have to make it a dream. I've no idea where this is going. And I said to you, I was not expecting that to be a dream sequence. Because it was such a silly film, like that could have just been a sequence.
Yeah, totally. And even though she plucked his eye out with a fork, like he was losing limbs all the time anyway, so it wouldn't have really mattered to him.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some other random bits, like the fact that that Butch was an explosives expert.
Yeah. And
just was like, I know, like the douche oil and some KY jelly is really explosive. So plug that into the electric.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll set everyone on fire.
He basically stuck the douche and the KY jelly on, I don't know, a hanky. And then he plugged the hanky into a socket on the wall.
So niche to know.
To be fair, it worked. They managed to blow the leprechaun up.
That's the sort of thing now you might find out if you Googled it. But back then, I don't know how you're knowing this information.
It's surely not true either. It can't be true.
I feel like I need to try it now. But I'm not even sure how they set the hanky on fire with the electric.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was sort of glossed over, but I'm not sure how he wired up the hanky.
That's what I mean. How did you wire up the hanky?
It's
Sorry, I mean, it's not a big part of the film.
Why was he an explosives expert? Because there was a weird scene at the beginning. The three guys. So, okay. Postmaster P and Stray Bullet Rap.
Yeah.
He's on the decks.
Yeah.
You know, doing the, I don't know, the PA. Yeah. Right, whatever you call it in hip-hop language.
He's doing all the music, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he starts mucking around with chemicals at his decks. And he accidentally blows them up and they get kicked out of the audition. And he's like saying, oh, maybe it was too much of this sort of chemical. Why was it any sort of chemical? Why do you need chemicals when you're mixing music? Like, and I was like, well, why?
It was never explained.
No. Like, so he was just doing something with chemicals.
Just messing about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I suppose once he's pressed play, maybe he gets bored.
Maybe.
So he just starts trying to make improvised explosive devices.
And I mean, it was handy, obviously, at times in the film that he was an explosives expert, because he also used explosives to blow up the glass case, which you probably just could have got out with a hammer, but never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that was a good point. Yeah, why did they blow up what was essentially an aquarium?
I'll tell you one thing I did have an issue with, actually, in that scene. The three lads are really nice, kind, not gangsters. And I didn't think it was that believable that they shot Mac Daddy and shot the leprechaun. Like, just happily shot them dead. Or thought they shot them dead. I was like, I think they would have just run for it if they were those sorts of guys. But
and they went to a party. And to be fair, Postmaster P was like, I feel quite bad about it.
But not for long.
Yeah, yeah. Because
then they said, you know what, you just got to get over it. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas. Fine. Let's win the big rap-off.
Also, there wasn't a rap-off. They literally just went to this bar where there were two people sat. And then they said, yeah, you've won. But
they won the heat. They won a place.
Oh, okay. I thought they'd have to do it to get into the place, to get into the final.
I think it's insinuated that there was other acts we maybe didn't see. I don't know. But yeah, the... God. At the end, the leprechaun does a rap, which, like I say, Warwick Davis, one of my favourite celebrities, not much of a rapper.
Not much of a rapper, no. Yeah. Leppin' the hood, gotta do no good. Yeah, it wasn't the best rap I've ever heard.
I can't remember any of the real lyrics, but it's stuff like, I have come from the Emerald Isle. Yeah. I have got a leprechaun style.
But yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Shall we tomatometer?
Well, first we've got to give our results.
Yes, okay. What are you going with?
Honestly, unrateable. I feel like in terms of how much I enjoyed it, good solid 4. Thought it could have been a bit shorter.
Yeah, I would go the same. I think...
in terms of how good it was objectively,
yeah,
I can't give it a 4.
No.
And also, I feel a bit morally conflicted.
Yeah, me too, actually. It's funny you said that because there were bits where I felt the same. But I know this is not an excuse and I'm not saying this, but I do think you have to think of the time with some of these things and kind of, it's not... okay, but it was a bit different. Should we just see when this came out? Because
yeah, let's have a look.
Bloody stab in the dark. Let's have a look. Okay, Leprechaun 5.
We laughed a lot. Ooh, didn't we?
Leprechaun 5.
Yeah,
was made in 2000. What? No way.
The year 2000.
Yeah. Still, 22 years ago.
What else was going on in the year 2000? The Millennium Dome.
Millennium Dome. That was it.
Oh, do you know what? When I think of...
what films were made in the year 2000? I bet you there's a lot of problematic ones still coming out then.
Do you know what? The year 2000, to me, sounds really recent until I remember the Millennium Bug.
Yeah.
Which feels like...
everything was going to explode.
A weird medieval superstition.
Everyone was genuinely bothered about this, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's face it, we were.
Honestly, if there's kids at home who are listening to this, not kids, but too young to remember what it was like in the year 2000... in 1999, we were genuinely shitting it because we thought that all technology would break.
Yeah, literally. I kind of accepted that it would, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought, yeah, probably.
Like, hang on, all these computer clocks are going up to 2000. Are we sure they can go that high?
Yeah, and then we weren't. We weren't sure at all. And then when it was the millennium, when it happened, it... was fine, and we all went, oh. And that was it? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, going back to the rating, I think I would say, for enjoyment, I would go with a 4. And then maybe for actually objectively how good it was and its problematics, 2.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? So I'll say a couple of things in its favour. Enjoyed that a lot more than Candyman.
It was a lot more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, that is the second... criminal supernatural. No, I'll put it the other way around. There's the second supernatural crime caper that we've seen.
Yes.
The first one being Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
I enjoyed it more than Poltergeist.
I think I did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed Poltergeist, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy that more than Poltergeist. So, yeah, right. Let's tomatometer.
What's your prediction?
Oh, yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, give it...
54.
Do you know, I'll go stone cold 50.
Okay.
I think it'll be divisive.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes. And
would you watch another Leprechaun film?
Yeah, I would actually.
Would you watch them all?
Probably not, unless we were like, we thought, screw it, let's do a marathon situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd seek them all out separately, but I'd happily watch another one. If that makes sense.
Well, we've got Pumpkinhead to watch.
Pumpkinhead. I do want to watch Pumpkinhead. I feel like we missed a trick not watching Pumpkinhead on Halloween. Oh, okay. So the tomatometer says... 33%.
Ooh.
Audience score, 32%.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, we've got out of sync with the zeitgeist.
We have, haven't we? We've been too kind. Right, let's have a look at some...
good reviews first. Let's hear the case for...
Okay, there's not actually many reviews for it, surprisingly.
Really?
There is on the audience, but not on the...
Can't wait to get into those.
I know. Okay, so the first one is a tomato.
Yeah, red tomato.
Red tomato, sorry. From Mark H. Harris from Black Horror Movies. This is above average for a direct-to-video urban horror film, with decent acting and makeup and the type of sense of humour that's necessary in a film called Leprechaun in the Hood.
I think that's fair.
Fair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Next one is a splodge from Daniel Barnes from Dare Daniel. An utterly incompetent series of cheap laughs, cheaper production values and cheapest Coolio cameos. Leprechaun in the Hood is more Potto Mold than Potto Gold. Oh, the comedian. Then I think, well, mixed. Another red tomato from Luke Y. Thompson from the New York Times.
Oh, there we go. That's a reputable journal.
Very reputable. Fast forward through most of the movie and check out the Leprechaun's rap video at the end. That alone is worth the price and merits a 3-star review.
Not what it used to be, the New York Times.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, okay. Most of them are just kind of similar to... Most of the splodges are quite similar there, to be honest. Should I have a look at the audience?
Do any of those splodges say, this is offensive?
No.
Oh, wow.
Because I just don't like it.
Because it was a bit offensive.
It was a bit offensive. Let's check out the audience. Well, the first one says, from Caroline A, best documentary ever made, short and sweet.
Do you reckon Caroline A is Postmaster P's gram?
Maybe.
What did she think she was reviewing?
Caroline, she's giving it 5 stars. I think she's maybe missed the point there. Gimli M has said, this was such an embarrassment to watch. Somehow, even after going forward and seeing all the crap that the Leprechaun franchise has to throw at us after, this... Oh, God, sorry, that was too long. Right, I'll go again. Gimli M. This was such an embarrassment to watch. Somehow, even after going forward and seeing all the crap that the Leprechaun franchise had to throw at us after this one, in the hood, still managed to end up being the worst. It was a very weirdly constructed sentence, but hey. Christopher L. says, a modern masterpiece. I exited the theatre a better person than when I entered.
It's very rare you connect with a film in that way. Oh, God.
He said, I exited the theatre a better person than I entered. A beautiful prose of impeccable soul and a sharp wit. The actors deliver the lines with surgical precision. What an absolute treat. A must-see. Especially when the Leprechaun graces our sensibilities with his song and dance at the end. 5 stars plus.
Do you know what? Right up until the end, I thought, is this one of Caroline A's? You know,
one of her other personas.
Yeah, what does she think she's reviewing now? But no, there's an actual explicit naming of the Leprechaun, and is a song and dance number.
I mean, I do feel there is some taking the piss here, but you know, Antonio C says, just so grateful this film exists. Perfection.
Oh boy!
Oh my God!
So, what would you like to see next time?
I knew you were
going to
ask me that, and I haven't really thought. Let's do best horror films like we did that, because that's always good. Best horror films. Da-da-da. I mean, you always get the ones that we all have watched.
Should we start at the top one and just make a pact to watch the first film that neither of us has seen?
I like it. Let's do it. I'm just bringing it up.
And let's read them as well. And maybe some of this we can make into a feature for the podcast. Like a segment for the podcast.
Yeah.
Features a bit strong.
I mean, maybe a little. But yeah, let's do it. Okay. First one. Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, I think we've both seen that.
Is that down there as the best horror film ever.
It's not. No, I don't know if it's in order. It just says the 200 best horror films of all time.
Okay, that, yeah, that'll do. We've both seen that.
Phenomena.
Really? Never even heard of
never
that.
I don't think these are in order. Should I find something which is in order?
Yeah.
It might be.
What's Phenomena?
I don't know. I feel like we want to watch it now. Maybe we can add it where's one of our later lists. Okay. Top 100 horror films. Number one, Us.
No, that's not the best horror film ever.
But that's... They're not... It's not very helpful. Sorted by adjusted score. I don't even really know what that means. Do you know what I mean? It's like, also, they say that's the best, but then you go down and it's not, because some of them have got a higher... Oh, fine, another. This is what...
Adjusted to, so, like, money, you need to think about inflation. Scores?
Yeah.
You don't have to think about inflation. It's not like, well, you know, this got 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's from 1946.
Yeah,
so that's like 98% in today's Rotten Tomatoes.
I know. I feel a bit like, let's try another site, okay.
A site that makes sense.
Number one is saying, this is not in order.
What's it saying? Number one?
I've never even heard of this. The Nighthouse.
Oh, no, I have heard of that and I'd love to see it. It's a new one.
Maybe we should just watch that.
And it's meant to be shit your pants scary.
Well, I feel like it's come to us now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was number one according to Harper's Bazaar.
So. What, the toy shop? Is that a toy shop? I'm thinking of Hawkins Bazaar.
I was like, I don't think it is, but I know what I kind of had. I could sort of see what you were getting at. I was trying to work it out.
What's their horse in the race?
Well, they...
Why are they... No, it's not Hawkins Bazaar.
They feel that is their favourite, so maybe we should try it.
Shit your pants scary.
And then in the meantime, for next time, I will find us a proper list that has been ranked of the best... You know, like, where people have voted.
Do you still have my copy of the Book of Horror by Matt Glasby?
Yeah, I need to bring your book back, actually.
So next time...
Yeah. I'll bring it.
Literally, go through in order, first film that neither of us have seen.
Deal.
Yeah. But next time we'll watch
The Nighthouse.
Yeah, brilliant.
Fab. Well, we got there, right?
Yeah, we did. We did. I can't wait to see how that edits together.
I never can. Oh, bro. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.